care for hip hop, and hip hop cares for me. And that's the dagger, ask Wayne Larravee. Come on.
It's the download here on WGN Radio. I'm Justin Kaufman with you till 11 o'clock tonight. Well, Bears camp's just 2 weeks away, which also means that Packer camp can't be that far behind. One man who knows the joys of both camps is none other than broadcaster Wayne Larravee. Larravee calls the Packers games on the radio, and before that, he called Bears games here at WGN. Larravee was involved in arguably the best call in Chicago sports history.
Third down, 11 yards to go for Dieter Brock and company. Brock back to pass. The rush on to
Chills listening to that. But it wasn't just the 85 Bears, of course. Wayne Larravee also did Channel 9 broadcast for the 90s Bulls. He left Chicago to go to Wisconsin to call the Packer games in 1999. Couldn't pass up that gig. We have a great sportscasters in Chicago, no doubt. But it's hard to beat the memories associated with my guest tonight, Wayne Larravee. Mr. Larravee, thanks for being here.
Good to be here, Justin. How are you?
I'm good. So hearing that clip, I mean, do you know, when I think of the calls in Chicago sports history, the 85 championship game against the Rams, that play in the snow comes to mind. That arguably is the best call in Chicago sports history.
Well, you know, that or the end of the Super Bowl, I mean, that was pretty special, too, because if you go back to the 85 season, there was a lot of trepidation throughout that season. I mean, the Bears were great. They were playing great, but everybody was waiting for the other shoe to drop, yeah. And it never did. Because they were so good, and then when they beat the Patriots in that Super Bowl, the dream became reality, and that was a high point.
That was your first year with the Chicago Bears. For you to jump into Chicago Bears football at that point when that team was such a national sensation, talk about the memories that are associated with that team, obviously winning a Super Bowl and being such a big part of Chicago, but just the circus element that went around it.
Well, Justin, I mean, you know, I had been in Kansas City for 7 years and had done the Chiefs and the great coach Marv Levy, and they were rebuilding, and the best year they had was 9-7, and they lost six of their last eight games to get to 9-7 that year, and a couple of years later, I ended up in Chicago, the 85 Bears, and you know, I really wish I had either gotten there earlier or had a few more years prior to the championship season, because it just hit us all so fast. I mean, it was almost like, you know, it was one of those things where when it was over, you said, what just happened here? You know what I mean? The games had just been at WBBM for like 8 years, and they came back to WGN where, you know, they belonged and where they had been for so many years prior. And they put together myself from Kansas City, Jim Hart, who just retired from the NFL as a quarterback and had been a Lake Charles native, and then Dick Butkus over the top of that to kind of give it a Chicago flair. And they put us together, and that was our first year in the booth, and what a year it was. I mean, no one could imagine something like that happening.
You know, there's so much. I mean, obviously the history of that team is well documented and has been the last year with the 30 for 30 and everyone looking back. But it's the little things. I was reading an article about, you know, this was before the Soldier Field renovation. Talk about calling a game at the old Soldier Field. Like, it wasn't the best place to be able to do play-by-play.
No, it wasn't. Soldier Field was, you know, built for the Olympics and built for track and field. It was never built for football. And, I think it had a hard time with football. Now, the configuration now of Soldier Field and the way it is, and I understand a lot of people from the outside say there's this spaceship they dropped in among columns. It may not be the prettiest thing in the world, but it's the sight lines are so much better for the fans. From the media standpoint, it's not as good because we're low, we're under the upper deck, that type of thing. It's not a very good stadium still to broadcast a game from. But you go back to the 80s, and here you are in the stadium. You're kind of far away from the action, And, you know, that made it a difficult broadcast, definitely. But nonetheless, it was great to be a part of all that.
You know, Wayne, take us back to your first days. I mean, 1978 with the Chiefs, but even before that, what got you into broadcast? I mean, to be a play-by-play announcer, obviously there's experience and understanding the game, but what do you have to do to get into this field?
Well, you know, really, and it's different today, and there's no one single path in this business. Everybody has a different path. It's kind of like a golf swing. Every golf swing is different. I think every path in this business is different in one way or another. But back then, I felt coming out of college that if I could get some commercial experience while I was in college, and I did back in Massachusetts. I went to Emerson College in Boston, which today has one of the best, you know, sports broadcasting schools in the business. But, you know, back when I was in there, I worked on weekends, you know, back in Western Massachusetts where I was from. I worked, you know, on the radio. I had commercial experience. I broadcast games. And then I got a job. I took a semester out of school and went down to Pampa, Texas. Pampa is a little, I want to say, north and west of Amarillo, Texas, up in the panhandle. But I did, you know, Friday Night Lights.
Wow.
And that was a great experience.
Yeah, what a great
experience.
And then
I came back to college, finished up, and then got a job in Davenport, Iowa, doing Iowa Hawkeyes football. Back in the days when Big Ten teams didn't have networks, they had, you know, a number of broadcasts across the state. In other words, Iowa had 13 broadcasts. So Cedar Rapids had a broadcast team. Davenport had a broadcast team, which I was doing. You know, Des Moines had a broadcast team. Waterloo had a broadcast. I mean, there were 13 of us, different broadcast teams, and it was a great experience. And after that, I got the job in Kansas City doing the Chiefs at 23 years old, and that was a wonderful experience.
Now, it's well documented as well that you are a lifelong Packer fan. The, you know, so we'll let that slide a little bit when it comes to one of our great Chicago broadcasters being a Packer fan. But the opportunity to go be the voice of the Packers, I mean, you can't pass that up. I mean, for that experience, to make that decision to do that, to go to Green Bay, that's a no-brainer for you.
Well, you know, I grew up as a kid in Western Massachusetts, and I, you know, I must admit, I'm a contrarian by nature. My two teams were the New York Yankees, you know, think about that, and in Massachusetts, and the Green Bay Packers, because in the 60s when I was a kid growing up, they were the team, the Lombardi Packers, and they captured not just my imagination, but everybody at that point in time. And, you know, I'm one of these fans that, and believe us, all of us that are in sports folks are fans, basically. That's why we got into this business, okay? We're fans. Everybody has a team they followed as a kid, and those were my teams, the Yankees and the Packers. And I always said to myself, you know, this is a great business to be in broadcasting. If I ever had a chance to do either the Yankees or Packers, that's what I would have to do. I would just have to do that. And my career bent was mostly toward football early on, and that's where I, you know, kind of, I did the Cubs for a few years, but, you know, my job was football. And so when the Packers job came up, you know, that was something I was interested in.
Yeah, of course. We're talking with Wayne Larrivee here on The Download. We'll take a quick break, Wayne, if that's okay, and
sure.
we'll come back. I really, Pete and I would love to talk about, our producer, we talk about this all the time, how difficult it is in this day and age and how fast the game of football is to size it up on the radio. And I'd love to get your take on how you do that, get, you know, be able to tell the story of the game as it's unfolding on the radio. So we'll talk with Wayne Larrivee more about the craft of calling a football game when we return. Stay with us. It's a download here on WGN Radio. I'm Justin Kaufman. My guest tonight, Wayne Larrivee, the voice of the Packers radio network, and of course, a man who used to broadcast here at WGN Radio, the Bears and TV and the Bulls. We haven't even talked about the Bulls. I mean, what a charmed life, Mr. Larrivee. You got the chance to work with the 80s Bears and then also be able to broadcast some of the 90s Bulls. I mean, covering Michael Jordan and both championships runs, what an experience.
Yeah, it was a tremendous experience. You know, obviously the 85 Bears, but the Jordan Bulls were just great. We broadcast those games on Channel 9, and it was a tremendous experience. I spent, you know, 18 years broadcasting Bulls games, and I've never been with one team longer than that. And they were just great. It was great. The organization was first class. You know, Jordan and Pippen and those guys, Rodman coming in, what a wonderful experience that was.
Now, for you, I mean, I don't know too much about how, the relationship between players and broadcasters. When you spend that much time with one organization, like you said, 18 years, do you develop at least relationships, friendships with the players, or is it pretty much business where they go one way, you guys go another?
You know, it's interesting. In basketball and baseball, you're able to develop a relationship with players because you're with them so much. You know, there's so many games. Football, it's really hard to get to know a football team. You're restricted on when you can be in the locker room, when you're on the road, and we travel sometimes with the team. You know, you're kind of restricted there, too. The players are in one compartment. The media front office types are in another. So it's hard to get to know a football team, but baseball and basketball, maybe because the fact is that baseball is about a 25-man roster.
Right.
Basketball is about a 15-man most roster, you know, you have an opportunity to get to know these people a little bit better. So you do, over the course of the season, get to know these guys.
Do you feel, I mean, obviously as a broadcaster for a team as opposed to a traveling, I mean, you do stuff with Westwood and you do Big Ten stuff that goes all over and you cover different places. But as the relationship, as the media has changed and evolved and social media has come into play, do the players, are they still sort of on the up and up with your relationship? They're like, hey, Mr., you know, Wayne Larrivee, that kind of thing. Or are they a little bit more guarded around the media because they just don't want to trust anybody who's got a microphone?
I would say they're a little more guarded. You know, I mean, social media has replaced the microphone as kind of the sound box. And, you know, people have to be careful of what they say and who they say it to and that type of thing. But, no, I think players, it's interesting. I say to myself, you know, I don't know if these players even know who I am. But players are more aware than we give them credit for, and they know who's who in that locker room and on the plane, and on the buses, and that type of thing. So they know us, and you get to know them. Again, they understand team broadcasters are a little bit different than maybe the newspaper guys or some of the other people who cover the team.
You know, I mentioned before the break just the art of being able to call a football game. But as a broadcaster who goes across, you know, you mentioned you did some stuff with the Cubs, but also 18 years with one team, the Chicago Bulls, and also your experience with football. I mean, is it a stark difference to broadcast in a different sport?
Oh, yeah. You know, and I, for a long time, would do college football on Saturdays on television and NFL football, either the Bears or Packers on Sunday on radio. And, you know, the call is totally different. It really is. And people don't understand why it's different, but television is a cool medium. People can see what's happening, and you're basically framing the picture they see. On radio, you're painting the picture they see. So the inflection of your voice and that type of thing is wholly different from what you do in a telecast. And, you know, sport to sport, yeah, it's different, I think, a little bit. Each sport has its own flow and momentum. Baseball is more conversational. Football is a lot of, you know, okay, here we go. You know, you can tell first and 10, they're at the line of scrimmage, that type of thing. And then the play
happens.
Hearing
you say that, it makes me giddy.
Yeah, and then basketball is you know, up and down, back and forth. And it's a great challenge, but each game has a different call.
It's amazing to me, and like I said, Pete and I were having this conversation just about how intricate and delicate and complicated a football call at the line of scrimmage is. I mean, what you do first and 10, even listening to a little bit of the call, the championship game, first and 10, split side, you know, backfield, where the quarterback's at, everything that you have to do to set up a play on the radio, it's intense. I mean, how do you, I guess the question is, as someone who's been in this for so long, when you first started out, how do you get that right?
Well, you know, it's basic, really. Okay, start of the play, you know, first and 10, what down is it? Okay, formation, who is where? Do you have time to mention the running backs, the wide receivers, that type of thing? And then you describe the play, and then you mention who makes a tackle, how many yards they gain, second down coming up, you know, 4 yards to go. So, you know, I honestly think play-by-play on the radio is pretty easy because you do have to dominate and you do have to there are things you have to describe. Being an analyst on radio is really a huge challenge, both in football and in basketball, and most guys can't do that very well. Tom Thayer does it extremely well. Larry McCarron in Green Bay, outstanding, just right. Knows when to jump in, knows how much time to take, knows what to describe. Few guys are like that, though. And again, Thayer is one of the best I've ever worked with. So is Larry. That's the tough part, the analyst part.
The interpreting what just happened in the play and why it's right. significant in
because
short amount of time.
Because the play-by-play guy, you know, he knows what he has to do. You know what you have to do to describe the play to the guy driving along the highway listening on the radio. You know that. So it's almost easier. The analyst has to say something salient in a much shorter period of time.
I've seen more of an appetite as football evolves and obviously becomes such a dominant sport in terms of popularity. I've seen more of an appetite for the specifics. Obviously, you know, from media that's about breaking down defenses, or you see it on ESPN all the time now, where they're using the graphics to show how a cover two beat the pass out of the backfield, that kind of thing. You know, for you, I mean, have you developed that kind of skill to be able to quickly be able to interpret and see what a football play is going to be before it happens?
I have a feel for that a little bit, but generally that's something that the analyst has to handle. That's something the guy who's been there and has done that handles best. And so, you know, that's kind of the way I look at it. Yeah, can I kind of sense that and see that, feel that? Yes, but really those are not my lines. The analyst should be doing that.
Right, of course. We're talking with Wayne Larrivee here on The Download. You know, before I let you go, I mean, it's an amazing career to be in broadcast, and you know, you obviously have a huge responsibility because there's a lot of fans that are hanging on your every word, especially when it comes to radio and you're painting these pictures. Let's talk about emotion. You know, you kind of were, there was a little bit, we got, I just following the NFL, that fans were a little bit critical of one of the games last year when there was that Hail Mary to one of the Packers tight ends, and you weren't jumping up and down and screaming and yelling. You just did the call. Talk about your involvement as a play-by-play guy with the emotion of calling your team's game.
Well, you know, I mean, the number one thing is you got to be able to see the play, and we were kind of screened as to who caught the football. So that's why I was a little bit hesitant on that play. And I just wanted to make sure I had the right guy catching the football, which eventually I did. But it was hard to see that from our vantage point at that point in time. So, but, you know, it's funny how fans interpret things. I mean, you know, emotion's a big part of it. And that's a big part of what we do locally. And Joniak does that well with the Bears. And I do that with the Packers. And, you know, that's a big part of the whole thing. But the number one thing when you call a play, especially a Hail Mary play like that, you damn well better have the right guy catching the ball.
Right.
And if you're not sure, you have to hesitate a little bit, and you have to wait until things clear up and you see who has the ball.
I mean, that really is it with play-by-play. I mean, for a lot of the other, for media, you can kind of recall it or change your mind. But as a play-by-play announcer, you have to be right. There's
well,
really no
yeah.
room for
I mean, what if I describe that play and go bonkers and have the wrong guy catching the ball?
Yeah, right.
How does that sound?
Well, I mean, you've been involved in some tremendous games. The Packers have been competitive for pretty much all the time you've been in Green Bay. But you know, as we wrap up here, tell me about your experiences in Chicago. Do you miss being involved with the teams, with the Bears, the Bulls? Do you miss being the voice of Chicago sports?
Without a doubt. Those are the 14 best years of my life. Chicago is the greatest sports market in America. I've said that many times, said that here, said that wherever I've been interviewed. It's the greatest sports market in America because people care so much about it. And, again, I'm inclined to be a New York guy, okay? But Chicago is the best sports market. You know, to broadcast and to, you know, write in Chicago, that's the ultimate. And trust me, there is no other market, not San Francisco, not L.A., not New York, not Philadelphia, not Boston. None of those markets, and I've been in all of them, is better than Chicago. That's the greatest sports market in America because people care so much about their teams and about the games.
Wayne Larrivee can be heard every Sunday, and it's the Packers, so a lot of Monday nights too. Not so much for the Bears these days, but you heard calling Packer games, and of course his time here in Chicago for covering or doing play-by-play for the Bears and the Bulls. Wayne Larrivee, thanks for taking some time out to talk to us tonight. We appreciate it.
Great to be with you, Justin. Take care.
How about that, huh?
Love Wayne Larrivee.
Guy, so good, man. So many great childhood memories with Wayne Larrivee attached.
Yeah.
You'd get that Channel 9 broadcast of the 90s Bulls, and they'd be like, and this was a day, there were a couple years in there where I didn't have cable. And you'd be like, oh, man, I want to watch this Bulls team, you know, with Jordan. And you'd be like, when you get that Channel 9 broadcast on a Saturday night, it's like, hello, everybody, I'm Wayne Larrivee. I'm like, yes!
Well, for me, the trifecta in Chicago at the time was Larrivee with the Bears, mm-hmm. Foley on radio with the
course,
Hawks,
right, of course,
and Jimmy Durham.
Yeah, right.
With the Bulls.
Absolutely.
Three of the best.
Chicago's blessed in that regard. I mean, there's some great people. We still do. Yeah. I mean, I do like the Bears radio. I like the Bulls. I love Stacey King.
Oh, they all do a good job. No, I'm not trying to malign anybody.
No,
they do
I'm
a good job. I'm just for me.
Absolutely. Yeah. But it's like, I you know, there's days that you kind of miss that. You'd love to have that sort of connection, you know, that sort of memory connection to Wayne Larrivee and what he did for broadcasting the 85 Bears.
The way Larrivee calls games is what I kind of modeled myself after when I was calling Alouettes games up in Montreal.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
There you go. Would you jump up and down if they got a goal?
I almost passed out one time when they scored a touchdown. Anthony Calvillo was the quarterback, and I think he hit one of the running backs over the middle, and the guy deked and ducked and you know, scored a miraculous touchdown, and I yelled so loud that I started getting lightheaded. And Ed Filion, former defensive tackle for the Alouettes, looked over at me and goes, on the air, dude, you okay? I said, yes, the Alouettes just scored.
We need to find that tape.
I've got it.
You've got it, too. Oh, man, come on. We should do a new segment where Martyr replays some of his greatest
I'll dig it up for him.
Play-by-play moments. And you could do like a play-by-play of the play-by-play. Do a whole thing. Anyway, Wayne Larrivee, that was great.